Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Gimel, Chapter 33. We are about to learn a perek that doesn't fit neatly into one of the three defined sections of Yechezkel. The first section talks about the upcoming destruction and spans Prakim Aleph through Chaf Dalet 1 to 24. It started with Yechezkel's first nevuah until his final nevuah about the actual Chorban. The second section had nevuos about the other nations and their demise both physically and spiritually. The third section are Prakim of Comfort, starting in Perek Lamed Dalet, Chapter 34, which talks about the future salvation of Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and Malchus Beis David, the downfall of Gog Umagog, and the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. Perek Lamed Gimel has elements of both the first and the third section. It is the transition perek from destruction to a new reality. This parak has two parts. From Psukim Aleph through Pasuk Chaf Beis, Yechezkel takes on a new job, which is to teach and prepare a receptive audience that is in Galus so that they may thrive and return to Eretz Israel. There is a shift in how life is lived, in the attitude of the Jewish people, and in the role of the Navi. There are five parts to the first section. First, the Navi explains the purpose of having a tzofeh, a scout. He then tells the people how a Navi is a spiritual tzofeh, a spiritual scout for the nation. The people, hearing this, despair from improving. They are overwhelmed by their situation and lose hope in themselves. And then, as a result, the Navi teaches them how they might do tshuva. Finally, the Palit, the refugee, comes from Israel and tells them the news of Yerushalayim's destruction. The second section of this parak deals with the incorrect philosophy of the people regarding reward and punishment, and more words of Musar that sound familiar to us from other prakim. The parak ends with rebuke, which is more similar to the beginning of the Sefer than to the end. While Yechezkel is starting a new role of tzofeh, of a scout, in this parak, we have heard about this role before. In Parak Gimel, Chapter 3, Hashem told Yechezkel that he would be a tzofeh, a scout, and why that role was necessary. Much of the language in this parak is similar to the words and ideas found there. The tzofeh is defined as a leader who provides guidance and direction. If a person is in a position to affect change in a society but does not, he is held responsible for all the negative outcomes in his society. If he shares his guidance but people choose not to take his advice, they are punished and he is not accountable for their behavior. There are differences between the description of the tzofeh in this nevuah and in the nevuah in Parak Gimel, Chapter 3. Until now, Yechezkel was a silent tzofeh, waiting for a receptive audience. Hashem had told him he could not speak, as the nation would never listen. They were a base merry, a rebellious house. Now the nation saw that Yechezkel's warnings over the last 7 years had come true. They believe him. Now he can finally guide them using his eloquent messages. The parak begins with a mashal of a tzofeh in battle. The Malbim points out that there are different kinds of tzofeh. Many scouts are sent out by the head of the army before battle to gather intelligence so that the leader can make plans. These scouts are not meant to think, just to relay information. The second kind of scout is described in our psukim, and he is a scout that is appointed after the battle has been lost. This kind of scout is appointed by the people as their leader, and he evaluates all the information he has to help the conquered community choose a prudent course of action. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. When this watchman observes danger, he sends a warning so his people can take cover or run away. Some people will choose not to listen to his clear warning. A person who does not listen, damo berosho yiyeh, his blood shall be on his own head, and he is responsible for his own fate. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, tells the people what would happen if the watchman were to neglect his job. If a watchman sees danger and doesn't warn his nation, when people are conquered or injured, understandably, the watchman is held accountable. Beginning of Pasuk Zayin, Hashem clearly explains the Nimshal. Sofeh nisaticha leveis Yisrael, v'shamata mipi davar v'hizharta osam, mimeni. I have set you as a watchman for the house of Israel, and while you hear the words of my mouth, you will warn them from me. A person might ask, why should they bother? Hashem may do bad things to people. Some of them are evil decrees that can be overturned, so a warning might be helpful. While other times, these bad decrees are actually atonement for sins, and so they will happen no matter what, whether or not a person does tshuva, based on the tzofeh's warning. So why warn them at all? The Malbim derives from our psukim that it is always helpful to receive a warning. Although a person may need to die from his sin, if he does tshuva, he won't die a rasha and will only be punished in this world and not the next. Having established Yechezkel as a tzofeh who will finally speak, Hashem tells Yechezkel his first task in Pasuk Yod. Hashem tells Yechezkel to talk to Bnei Israel about one of their catchphrases which represents their inaccurate philosophy. Ki fasha'enu v'chatoseinu aleinu, our transgression and our sins are upon us. The Malbim says that the Jews in Bavel believed that no tshuva will help them and they are doomed since they rebelled and did not do what Hashem asked. Uvam anachnu nemakim v'ich nechye, we pine away in our sins, how then can we live? The people view the relationship with Hashem as if they were medical patients. If the doctor tells someone with diabetes not to eat sugar, and he does anyways, there is nothing to do when the diabetic suffers irreversible ill effects. It was his poor choices that got him there. Even if he later has regrets, his regrets don't help as he has already damaged himself. The Jewish people felt that since they ignored Hashem's warnings for so many years, now they are like the diabetes patient who needs dialysis. They need to live with the consequences of bad choices, and there is nothing else they can do. Ech nechia. When they ask how could they live, there is a path forward, through regret, tshuva, and listening to the call of the shofar. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, spells out the true philosophy of Judaism. Chai Hashem. Hashem swears, he says it very strongly, Im echpots b'mos harasha, ki im b'shuv rasha midarko v'chayai. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Shuvu shuvu mitarchichem haraim, v'lama samusu beis Yisrael. Turn away from your evil ways, for why should you die, house of Israel? Hashem is not like a king who wants to exact revenge out of spite to make us suffer because he is insulted we did not listen. He wants to keep us alive. Any problems we have in life are only there to help us fix ourselves and our future. In Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, Yechezkel explains an additional philosophical question that relates to the first one. How does Hashem treat a tzaddik that sins? How about a rasha? If a tzaddik is holy his whole life, does he have a free pass to take a day off to have fun? Can a rasha who has ignored Hashem his whole life really escape what is due him, even with regret? The Das Mikra tells us this conversation is important now because the nation is so demoralized, they may sink into despair and apathy, believing there is no reward and punishment or the ability to do tshuva. Hashem lets the people know, Sidkas hatzadik lo satzilenu miyom pisho v'rishas harasha lo yikashal ba biyom shuvo mirisho. The righteousness of the tzaddik won't save him on the day of his sin, and the evil of the rasha won't cause him to stumble on the day he does tshuva from his wickedness. A tzaddik should not become complacent and think that he has it made and could do whatever he wants. Hashem accounts for both good deeds and bad deeds, and doesn't just judge us based on how we are on average. He looks at who we are today, whether we have been a tzaddik who is now regretting the positive behavior, or a rasha who is changing and regretting what he has done in the past. Psukim Yud Dalet and Tezvav 14 and 15 teach us the formula for how to do tshuva so that even a rasha can live despite his previous sins. Uva amri l'rasha mos tamus, v'shav mechataso. And when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he does tshuva from his sins. When is Hashem talking to this rasha and telling him he will die? The Das Sofrim says Hashem speaks to each one of us, no matter our spiritual level, through the words of the Torah. The Torah will follow the Jewish people into Galus and can help save them. When a rasha stops doing that which the Torah says is wrong, and instead, asa mishpat u'tzedaka, he does what is lawful and right between Hashem and his fellow man, when he returns that which he has stolen and acts with integrity, even in Galus, he will be forgiven and he will live rather than die. The Jewish people have undergone a change. They no longer have the Beis HaMikdash as their unifying force. These psukim are telling us that even in Galus, a person has a choice to become elevated. He need only live a life dictated by the Torah, and he will live rather than die. Yechezkel reassures his frightened people that as a result of tshuva, it will be as if the sins never happened. The Malbim adds that Yechezkel is teaching them that with tshuva from love, all their sins turn to zechuyos, to merits. Yechezkel verbalizes the thoughts of the distraught people in Galus. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, he says, Lo yitachen derech Hashem. Hashem's ways are not fair. The people don't understand why things are happening the way they are, and they blame Hashem for this. Yechezkel tells him, as he has in previous Prakim, that their perspective was warped, and so they need to readjust their thinking. He told them that before, they only related to Hashem through the Mikdash. Now this needs to change. Hashem is connected to them wherever they are. It is their choice today that determines their tomorrow. They can't keep looking back and blaming themselves. They need to do tshuva, make good choices, and move forward in this new world. After this speech regarding the importance and reality of tshuva, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, an important event happens in the 12th year, in the 10th month, 5 months after the Chorban. Ba Eli Hapalit Mi Yushalayim Lemar Huksa Ha'ir. the refugee from Jerusalem came on to me, saying, "This city has been struck." A refugee from Israel bearing the heartbreaking news about the Churban. We had already heard about this palit, this refugee, in Perek Chaf Dalet, chapter 24. There it had said that when the palit comes, Yecheskel would begin to say Nevuah freely. Indeed, the night before, Yecheskel's mission had changed. Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. V'yad Hashem ha'isa elai ba'erev lifnei bo ha'palit v'yiftach es pi ad bo elai ba'boker v'yifpasach pi v'lo ne'alamti od. The hand of Hashem had been upon me on the evening before the refugee came, and he opened my mouth until his coming to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was silent no more. Until now, Yirmiyahu had been the primary Navi. He lived in Israel, so he had a chance to encourage the people to do tshuva. Had Tzidkiyahu listened to Yirmiyahu, the Beis HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. Yecheskel remained silent as everything depended on Yirmiyahu's mission. Only after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed could Yecheskel share his nevuah and complete the mission Yirmiyahu had begun in Israel with these people in Babel. Moreover, before, the people did not believe him because of the Nevi'ei Sheker, the false prophets who were assuring them that all would be fine. With the Nevi'ei Sheker killed or proven wrong, it is a new time for Yecheskel with the nation. In Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, Yecheskel shares another philosophical idea that needs to be disproven. The people who are still living in Israel, even after the Churban, still clung to the hope that things would be fine. They said, Echad haya Avram vayirash ha'aretz. Avram was only one person, and he inherited the whole land. V'anaknu rabim, lanu nitna ha'aretz l'morasha. We are many. The land will be given to us as an inheritance. If one person could be given Eretz Yisrael, then why shouldn't the whole group who want to live there have this zechus? Yecheskel informs the people in the next few psukim that they were sinners. They did the three cardinal sins of worshipping idols, murder, and adultery. He asked them rhetorically, if you did all these sins, are you still the same as Avraham, who should inherit the land? In Pasuk Chaf Zayin, verse 27, Yecheskel shares the sad news that those people who escaped the first wave of the Churban will meet their end when they are fleeing or hiding or trying to carry on with their lives. Pasuk Chaf Ches, verse 28. V'nasati es ha'aretz shmama u'mishama, I will make the land most desolate. The land will stay empty without anyone ever passing through it for a few generations. This is the last tochacha of Yecheskel to the nation. It was said before the palit, the refugee, arrived. Hashem tells Yecheskel that though outwardly people seem to support him and seek his guidance, they haven't changed drastically from those who have been mocking him for years. They used to talk about him behind his back. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. B'nei amcha hanidbarim b'cha etzal kiros efifischei habatim. Your people talk about you by the walls and the doors in the house. Privately, the people badmouth Yecheskel. In public, they will try to look attentive and say to each other, Bo'una v'shim'u ma hadvar hayotze me'es Hashem. Come, please, and hear what is the word that comes from the Hashem. These acts are not sincere. They come to Yecheskel like they want to learn, but in their hearts they are cynical and willing to ignore him. Why do they even bother to come then? Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32, V'hincha lahem kashir agavim yifei kol u'metiv nagin. You are like a love song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play an instrument well. I think we can all fall into this trap. Sometimes we listen to drashos or shirim because it makes us feel good and we walk away inspired. We don't need to change, but there is some entertainment and positive association with being inspired. The people in Yecheskel's time, at the time of the Nevuah, act similarly. They want to feel like they are growing spiritually without putting in the work. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, verse 33. The Perek ends off at the same place as Perek Chaf Dalet finished. When the Churban is a reality, the people will listen. Only by accepting responsibility for their sins will they be able to improve. Uvevoa hine va'a. V'yadu ki navi haya v'socham. When this comes to pass, behold, it comes, then they shall know that a prophet has been among them. In this parak, we have seen Yecheskel take on a new role when the palit, the refugee, comes. Until now, people regard Yecheskel as an amusement or as an annoyance. With the coming of the palit, the people are finally ready to change. With that change, with their acceptance of their new reality, Yecheskel can now give a nevuah focusing on the positive future. The message from this parak is clear. Teshuva can change our future, but we must first accept who we truly are. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basri Yosef.